Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And now let me read verse 13 to start us off. Genesis 22, verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there was a thicket, and he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Once of you have been with us for a while, we've been going through the book of Genesis and just seeing how all the New Testament principles that we hold so dearly are actually established in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is a book of beginnings, a book of first mentions, and so the things of the Christian faith of the New Testament started in Genesis. And so we had fun doing that. And so as Easter was rolling up, coming
I think it's a son in 100 years old.
By the way, Sarah's past childbearing age. You know. And God says, okay, now you're going to have their son. Being people of faith, they both laughed. They had kisses in their life. You know, and it says, you know, name, here's what God says, name the baby Isaac. You know what Isaac means? Laughter. You can just laugh. As soon as you see him, you laugh. And every time you see him, you're going to call Isaac. Just laugh, you know, because that's going to remind them that when God said you're going to have a son, they laugh. So he named his son Laughter. So here we are. Genesis 22. It says we can see the picture here. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. So he's 110 now, something like that, 110, 115. Isaac will be 10, 15. We don't know for sure, but he's a child. He's a child. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. Then God said, take your son, son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. I will tell you about it. Would you put yourself there? There's a reason for this story. There's a reason for this account. This really happened, but there's a reason for it to give us understanding, to help us understand. Here you have Abraham, 100 years old, and he finally gets his child. 110 or so, you've got this child, 10 years old. Where is your heart? Where is your mind? Where is your soul? It's in this child. It's in this child that God promised you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? He doesn't mention anything about Sarah in this account. You know, I think she has a small network of friends, and she is grieving about this now, don't you think? Just imagine Abraham's heart when he has this son that his whole being is invested in. God's promise. Do you feel it? You feel Abraham. And then God says, take him and sacrifice him. What kind of pain do you think Abraham feels? What kind of pain do you think he feels right now? Now, this child is a miracle. Have him here anyway. Now, I mean, this was no physical accounting. It is a miracle to have this child at 100 and Sarah at 90. Right? That's the reason they laughed. It's not going to happen. So here you have this whole child as a miracle. And it's just the glory of God is in this child. Their heart is in this child. And God says, sacrifice this child. Just think of the devastation Abraham feels. And he says, take your only son, your son, your only son, whom you love. Now, I want you to associate that with God the Father. There's the association. Here is a physical picture, and we're grasping the physical ramifications, the emotional ramifications. But God's emotions, God's spirit, so much greater, deeper than ours is because he's God, right? Imagine the feeling, the emotion, the heart of God when he sends his son to the cross. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Abraham, your one and only son. God says, I'm telling you to do something that I am going to do. And it's for us all, for all eternity, to understand the depth of God's love. Y'all got it a little bit? A little bit of God's love here. That's what it's talking about. So that we can comprehend God really loves you. He really, really loves you. Because that's why he sent his son. God. mercy. Abraham answered. This is so powerful when you put it in context of the cross, when you put it in context of the Father, when you put it in context of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb. And all God's people said, Amen. Abraham doesn't know how this is going to work, but he says, Abraham. God's name. What do we know? Now, what do we know? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, the Lamb whose horns are caught in the thicket. There he is. That's what's going to be sacrificed. Not your son, not you. The Lamb with his horns caught in the thicket. That's what's going to be sacrificed. Then we go into Exodus. What do we see in Exodus? We have there in the Passover lamb, and the blood is on the doorpost. So the death angel passes over. It's the Passover lamb. Jesus is the Passover lamb. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He is the lamb. All the Old Testament system, they had sacrificed these lambs. They hung on thousands and thousands of these lamb people, bring them up there, put their hands on the lamb, signifying, passing their sin to the lamb, and they would kill the lamb. All the Old Testament system, everything in it, God is saying, it's Jesus. Look, there is the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Amen? Genesis is, Easter is in Genesis. Easter is Genesis. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah for the ram caught in the thickets. Hallelujah for the Passover lamb. Hallelujah for all those Jewish lambs killed over all those hundreds of years. Hallelujah. Because this, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the lamb. The final lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And when he was nailed to that cross, he was nailed in your place. He was nailed in our place. He who knew no sin, which was the Lamb of God, Jesus the Lamb of God. He who knew no sin, Jesus the Lamb of God, but came sin. He died in our place. He became sin. He who knew no sin, became sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. We're alive. We are alive. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we will cap it off with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul. We've got this unfolding revelation. We see it starting in Genesis. This unfolding revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ is unfolding revelation of the redemption of man, making a way for us in heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." What was Paul preaching from? Old Testament, he didn't have the New Testament. He wrote it. Okay? It's all that he said, that the first importance that Christ died for us is according to the Scripture. It is all there. It is all there. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. It's all there. Genesis 22, Psalm 16, Psalms 22, Isaiah 53. It is all there. He told the Pharisees, "You have the Scriptures, and the Scriptures speak of me." They speak of me. And not only that's not enough, it's the first importance, and this is so important. And he appeared. He's alive. He is alive. He appeared. The bunch he had with him, okay? The bunch, they just weren't the bravest bunch in town. They were hiding. They were in locked doors. They couldn't believe that the person that they put all their faith in was dead. The Scripture's telling you they couldn't believe he's dead. They weren't going to tell anybody anything because they, in their minds, I don't see how this is working out. It's not a real good message right now. So what he did, he appeared to Peter. Then he appeared to the 12. After that, he appeared to another 500. At the